The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTapes.com studios.
Great Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Eric is on his way to Dallas. He's heading down early to do a big piece on Todd Graham and where Todd Graham grew up. That's what we do here at Pros to Preps. We just don't say there's a game coming up and who's going to block and who's going to tackle. Let's do something different. Let's do something a little bit more in depth. Let's take you places that local TV is not going to take you. And, you know, print will do a nice job and all that stuff, but this is what we do. Some stuff on television, some stuff on radio. I combine them all together through the years of experience. And when you see Todd Graham grew up in the shadow of the stadium where ASU plays Notre Dame on Saturday, it's Eric, go on a plane. Go down there with a camera, go tell a story, go find his high school coach, go find the guidance counselor, go on campus, tell that story, interview Todd Graham about it, which he's already done. It's going to be a great piece. So Eric is on the road. Our coverage down in Dallas brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Appreciate their support of us on the road with ASU. I'm Brad Sesmatt. Looking forward to the weekend. It actually starts tonight. My weekend for football started last night. I've been hearing for the last, month and a half about a kid who's a freshman. And I'm really uncomfortable doing stories on kids in junior high and kids at the bottom level of high school because it's a little creepy, I think. And yeah, it's pretty easy in the industry to go get viewers and page views and all that stuff. But it doesn't really hold true to what we're all about here. Because you can go do that stuff every day. I call it low-hanging fruit. I would tell the number of parents that call me that want us to do something on the high school level, it's, well, we have a pro story to do. Oh, you know, we have a college story to do. Oh, yeah, we're traveling down to you mean you can't come out and shoot little Johnny's game? No. Is there a story there to it? So I'm working on a story on a kid who has a famous brother. And this kid I went and watched last night because I'd been hearing about him from some people on the college end. And I think last night I saw one, you know, you got to be careful on this stuff. I saw a player that is going to be one of the more heavily recruited players in Arizona in a long, long time. And he's just a freshman. You can tell. The last one I saw that was like this was Brett Hundley. And we see Brett Hundley who, boy, things continue for him. From Chandler High to where he is at UCLA, and now I'm already hearing about Brett Hundley as a top 20 NFL draft pick next year if he comes out at quarterback. Meteoric. And the thing is, that was only 5 years ago. That's how quick it goes. So, you know, working on that story, there's some cool stuff over on Pros to Preps if you want to check it out today. On the pro front, a really good story Eric put together on the replacement for Levi Brown. Who's the guy that's replacing Levi Brown? That's up on pros2preps.com right now. The next great player at the U of A is up on Pros to Preps in basketball, up on Pros to Preps. On the high school level, there's stuff there, and I've got a column, a 3.com column on notes around the high school, college, and pro scene around Arizona. So. There you go on that front. Today's Facebook question of the day, Eric actually did leave this for me. The fall sports season is packed with options. You have the NFL, you have MLB playoffs, you have college football, the start of the NHL season is tonight for the Coyotes and much more. Which part of the calendar is your favorite when it comes to watching sports? Is it the month of October right now, A? Is it B, winter when it's bowl season, the NFL playoffs, the NHL, NBA, and college basketball season? Is it spring where you have March Madness and spring training? Is it D, early summer when you have the NFL draft, MLB? For me, it's now. I mean, this stuff right now is terrific. You can vote on that. Head over to facebook.com/pros2preps. Like our page. Share your input. That's facebook.com/pros2preps. Jake Plummer is going to join us here in a couple of minutes. The Fiesta Bowl weekly conversation, the Fiesta Bowl show with Jake Plummer. The Fiesta Bowl and Jake, a winning combination. All things college football with Jake Plummer here. In about 8 minutes. Let's get you caught up with things on my mind in the world of sports, and it's brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains, where they have the biggest, baddest brown fishing tournament going on right now, where there's all sorts of prizes. Check out the details at honda.com. The Honda Resort and Casino, where winning is big. It's the weekend coming up, and the fall season is here. Great time to see the leaves that have changed. And the atmosphere that's up there at the Honda Resort and Casino, pull down the slot, stay there, have some fun. That's at the Honda Resort and casino. I watched the wild card game last night, too. I made it back in time for the end of it. And Tampa Bay wins by a score of 4-0 and knocks out Cleveland in the process. The last time Tampa Bay won a home game was, or the last time Tampa was at home was Monday, September 23rd. Think about that. Today's October 3rd. It's been like 2 weeks since they were at home, and all they do is go out and win these elimination games, backs to the wall. It's impressive to watch what the Rays did last night. Today is National League Day in the playoffs, which means no DH. Yay. I'm one of those that is very much opposed to the designated hitter. We have the Pirates and Cardinals today, and I think the Pirates can beat the Cardinals. Cardinals have had a lot of injuries. And we have the Dodgers and Braves. So the Pirates and Cardinals play a day game, and then they turn right back around and they play at midday tomorrow, which means the networks don't think much of St. Louis or Pittsburgh. And we went through that here with the Diamondbacks. So Pirates, Cardinals, and then tonight Dodgers, Braves. Kershaw's on the mound tonight for the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers win in that series. So there's some baseball. I saw where Costas, and I always think that Bob Costas is the smartest guy when it comes to baseball. Some people think he's an arrogant, pompous jackass on that stuff. I don't. When we talk about people that really think through the game. I saw where he recommended day-night doubleheader for some of these playoff games. Could you imagine Dodgers-Braves playing at 1:15 Eastern time, 10 o'clock this morning, like play one game and then go around and play at night in prime time? And how much drama that would create and how baseball really would take a foothold on the attention. You'd have the LA market for basically all day if you're looking at it from that standpoint. And yeah, would it be a challenge to manage? Would it be a challenge on the bullpens? Sure it would. But I think it would raise the interest and raise the stakes, raise the price. And baseball needs that. Baseball needs that. On the Levi Brown front, so the reaction that I've gotten was, of course, 99.9%. I may have talked to a couple of people that know Levi away from football that were disappointed by it. But come on. You couldn't have been shocked. He goes off to Pittsburgh. I have some interesting stats around the Cardinals. I'm going to bring you on the show a little bit later on. Pro Football Focus is one of the resources we use. I would recommend you follow them on Twitter. They are terrific. They've got some notes on the Cardinals to this point of the season. Larry Fitzgerald has not been the receiver thrown to the most this season for the Cardinals. Believe it or not, through four games, someone else has had more balls thrown their direction. So we'll get into that a little bit. On the ASU Notre Dame front, Eric is heading down to Dallas, as we said. We'll have plenty of coverage from down in Big D, brought to you by our good friends at Santan Ford. Eric will be down there for that. Tonight, UCLA plays at Utah. I will watch some of that game tonight. I will not be watching the Dodgers game start to finish. I will watch to see if the Bruins, and Utah for that matter, because Dennis Erickson, it's kind of interesting. You have Dennis Erickson on the sidelines for Utah and Noel Mazzoni on the sidelines for UCLA calling plays. And those two, of course, coached here together. Those two are very close together. So I like that. Later in the show, Bob Stoops gets on the Southeastern Conference, and I agree with him. The problem is the Big 12 is not very good this year. So we'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. And aside from that, there's a story up in San Francisco that's caught my eye, and again, it's the opener for the Coyotes tonight. People said to me, why aren't you making a bigger deal out of this? Prove it to me. I know that there's new owners. I know that there is. It's some of the same challenges. I'm not being negative on this. It's great that hockey is still here. It's great that they have a chance to go out and play the games and that all this cloud is lifted from what's gone on around the organization, at least in some people's eyes. I have to tell you, there's some business people still in town whose opinions I respect that have very deep pockets that don't think it's going to work out there. That within a year or two, it's, well, we're really not seeing the return on our investment. Well, no kidding. So it's a Band-Aid. It's a prove it to me, period. Not being negative, it's just here's the reality of the situation, all right? Jake Plummer is going to join us on the other side. Brad Sussmat with you. We'll step aside here, and up next we'll visit with Jake, the Fiesta Bowl, and Jake Plummer. That's a winning combination. Jake Plummer joins us every week. Go through the college football games. I'm going to talk to him about the Southeast Conference versus the Pac-12. ASU being in over their heads with the crowd down at Notre Dame. UCLA tonight. Some of the national stuff, too, with Jake Plummer. That comes up next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Pros to Preps.
Brad Sussmat with you. Eric is on the road down in Dallas, already working ahead on a couple of story ideas and angles, shooting, putting together some stories around ASU head coach Todd Graham, who grew up about 15 miles, it sounded like, from Eric doing the background, from Texas Stadium, where the game is this week, Jerry World, so to speak. ASU and Notre Dame, our coverage down in Big D through tomorrow's show as well, and then on Saturday, the game itself. Then following the game, plenty of content, audio, video, highlights, and stories all around the game, ASU, Notre Dame. Time now for the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl show with Jake Plummer. The Fiesta Bowl and Jake Plummer, a winning combination. I'll get to that game in a minute, Jake. I'm curious about USC and your reaction to what happened with Lane Kiffin being let go. Did you ever think USC would be so far down?
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, they're such a strong program and a storied history. You know, they had the sanctions put against them when they, you know, broke the NCAA rules, which nowadays I think, you know, everyone's kind of questioning those rules because players struggle, you know, to get a pizza, yet they make a lot of money with them playing every Saturday and even like tonight on the Thursday night game. So, you know, you hate to see anybody struggle like that, but I think, you know, as a football fan and especially going to ASU and being in the Pac-10, now the Pac-12, you know, I don't necessarily feel real sorry for them because it's USC. And I think if they don't have the players in line, then they should be fired because whoever recruits there should, you know, a recruiting coordinator there has a pretty easy job, number one, because everybody wants to go there. And number two, you got a wealth of talent of in the state of California. And, you know, I don't feel too bad for him. I think, if anything, I feel bad for Cody Kessler, who, you know, a QB that, you know, shows some signs, but I don't think was let go or put in the proper position to play well or get the opportunity. And I think that in that case, that the move was good to get rid of Lane Kiffin and get ready to build back that storied program.
It's interesting right now you look at what's going on just in Los Angeles and the Pac-12 South that USC, as you point out accurately, you may have sanctions put on you in limiting scholarships, but that doesn't mean you can't find the best 60 players, right? Or the best 70 players rather than the best 80 players or whatever the number may be. And so they did fall off the map. On the conversely, you have UCLA playing tonight against Utah, which I think is a very entertaining game. You've seen teams with your Pac-12 network analysis job as well. What do you make out of tonight's game, UCLA, Utah?
Well, it'll be very interesting. I think UCLA is a definitely a very good team, a solid team. Both sides of the ball, their defense flies around. I like Miles Jack. He's a young linebacker, number 30 for the Bruins, and he's in on damn near every play if you watch their defense. And, you know, you got to love Brett Hundley. I've been pretty high on that guy for a while. I just love his skill set. I think he's the most ready to play in the NFL out of any of those quarterbacks, and I think watching him is always fun. You know, Utah on the other side, I love that team. I think they definitely personify what their leader on offense, Travis Wilson, is all about. He's a scrappy, athletic, tough kid that never gives up, and I think that he's definitely a lot of fun to watch, and I'll be surprised to see what happens because they're both very well-coached teams. UCLA seems to come out in the second half and dominate in games, so mm-hmm. It'll be really fun to see how they go in at halftime and then to watch when they come out at half to see which team, you know, goes and has the right game plan. But, you know, it's a great matchup because UCLA wants to continue to climb, and Utah, if they want to get some respect in the Pac-12, you know, they got to step up in a game like this at their place.
Jake Plummer and the Fiesta Bowl, winning combination. Jake Plummer and the Fiesta Bowl show every week. We talk college football here on Pros to Preps. I'm going to go back to something that you said about Brett Hundley, that he's ready-made for the NFL more than others, more so than Marcus Mariota.
You know, I think, yeah, a lot more. Marcus, you know, runs the spread up there in Oregon, and if you look at the NFL and what the NFL is doing, you got to get under center, take 3-step, 5-step, 7-step. I think if you look across the Pac-12, even more so than Brett Hundley, Sean Mannion is more prepped and ready to play in the NFL than any quarterback. But Brett Hundley shows all the skill set you need. He's big, he's strong, he can throw, on his from his you know planted in the pocket anywhere across the entire field. Yet he still has that ability to go out and make plays with his legs. And you know, for him, it's more of just staying safe when he gets out there, not taking those big hits. But you know, I mean, Marcus Mariota is a specimen. He's a phenomenal athlete. No shot to him. But when I see him in that offense with Oregon, you know what they do with all those players, he's throwing to a lot of, you know, pretty wide open targets. And in the NFL, you know that doesn't happen. You got to throw over a linebacker and fit it in between a safety and a corner's hands, you know, 8-inch window while you're getting hit in the face. And that's why, you know, you watch Peyton Manning, that's why he's so good. His accuracy and his ability to stand and throw and support the pocket, that's why he's one of the greatest. And these young kids that run this spread offense, they get a full dose of reality when they get to the NFL. And it's definitely different.
Do you think the spread is just a fad for now and it's going to start to fade away? Because that's been a big topic of debate at the college level, because we'll see it at a high school. I was at a high school game last night, and I saw it being run at the high school level. I see it at the college level. It goes over to the NFL. Everybody talks about Kaepernick and Russell Wilson. Is it going to last? Is it going to fade away? What's your view on just that whole offensive stance?
It's going to last until somebody wins a national title running the wing T again. Then everybody's going to go back to the wing T. You know what it is. It's just a forecast. You know, whatever everybody's doing, they kind of it kind of trickles around. There's always the traditionalist. I like what David Shaw's doing at Stanford. He has solid, well-rounded, fundamental football players that come in there and they make you go mano a mano. Are you better than us? Nope, you're not better than us. And that's why they're an interesting team to watch. I think they might be the best team in the nation, actually. That's one of the ones I've been talking about and thinking I would love to see them get a chance to play whoever's number one, whether it's Alabama or not. But they're a team that plays old-school ball. They line up, they hit you, and they just throw it to the open guy. It makes it pretty simple. But the spread's here for a while, and I think with the athletes that are out there, that it's going to be around forever. I mean, you can't, you know, tell me that you don't want athletes out on the field. Athletes make plays. The more teams, the team that makes the most big plays wins. I see maybe defenses changing up because there's really a pass rush is kind of, I don't even know if you need it anymore because they're spreading it out so much. And, you know, maybe they're going to revert back to 250-pound 4-3, 4-4 D linemen that, you know, you can't block me. I'm going to start 3 yards off the ball and run at you full speed and twist and turn. And you know, who knows? There's going to be an adjustment somehow. And whoever does that and makes it work, everybody will copy him then.
Jake Plummer in the Fiesta Bowl winning combination. Jake Plummer with me every week. Brad Sussmat, Pros to Preps. All right, I want to talk about SEC and how big of a gap. Bob Stoops came out and ripped the SEC yesterday, taking a shot, questioning the reputation for quality defenses in the SEC, calling the mystique of the SEC propaganda. He's talking about how they have Manziel, they have Aaron Murray, they have Mettenberg. We've put out RG3, we put out Brandon Weeden, we put out Ryan Tannehill. They're playing in the NFL. Is there a big gap? Is it all propaganda between the SEC and the rest? I think the Pac-12 is right there with the SEC. To Bob Stoops' point, I don't think his conference is, they're probably about fourth now in line, in my opinion. Where do you see the power conferences, Jake?
Well, I think it's coming down to, obviously, the SEC and the proof's in the pudding. They've won the national title the last, 7 years or something like that. So that is in the BCS era, and I think the BCS is flawed. I think it has been, and it's proven that it is, and I think most college football fans are waiting to see that go away so there's a playoff so that we can see what conference really is the best. I mean, Oklahoma, is your conference the best? Well, let's pair you up in an 8-team playoff, and if you can beat an SEC team, then there you go. You walk the walk, you talk the talk. So, you know, I think the Pac-12 is catching up. You know, it's been interesting doing work with Rick Neuheisel, who's a very, you know, knowledgeable guy. He knows his stuff. And when we had our talks in the back, you know, he hit on this last weekend was that the SEC has been doing this for a lot longer, which is grooming college guys to be NFL football players. And that means they're having proper nutrition and their weight work is exceptional. And they're taking these young kids that are tiny guys and not maybe in shape or ready, and they just in 4 years they come out they're NFL ready. And I think the Pac-12 is catching up with the new facilities. He's mentioned this, that, you know, with the new facilities there's an emphasis now on that in the Pac-12, and once that happens and kids know, hey, my opportunity to play in the NFL goes up 10-15% if I go to the Pac-12, then that's when things start happening and you start having more of a the competition. But I think the Pac-12 is right there. They're right there. The only thing we haven't got is a national title in a while, and I think, you know, hopefully this year it can come down to an SEC versus a Pac-12 in the national title game, and then we'll see. We'll get to see who is the power conference.
And there's two teams this year in the Pac-12 that I think we both agree can be there. I wouldn't say anybody else within the Pac-12. It's Oregon and Stanford.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, I think you never know. I mean, you never know what's going on in these teams. And to this day and age, it's nice when someone is a surprise where, you know, you might have a UCLA that has enough talent or enough confidence and enough ability to maybe show up on a bowl game and a championship type game and make some news. I mean, you never know. I hope, because it'd be nice to see some different faces in there. But right now, yeah, Oregon, Stanford, no one can stop Oregon, and their defense is not talked about much. Their defense caused the havoc on the other side of the ball and creates a lot of turnovers, and that's what good defenses do, and good offenses score, and so, you know, Oregon is right there. I mean, Oregon, Stanford, they're definitely our best bets, and the tough thing is they got to play some of these other teams in the Pac-12, you know, and have to beat them in order to get there, and that's the hard part, and that's why I think Pac-12 is better than these other conferences, because top to bottom, it's a tough game no matter who you're playing.
Okay, and you're supposed to say, Brad, what about ASU? I mean, come on. If ASU beats Notre Dame on Saturday, all of a sudden, let's put that national title talk to the side for a second. But I am curious from your view, Notre Dame, Arizona State, analyst hat on, not Sun Devil hat on, what do you see Saturday?
You know, I to be honest with you, I haven't watched Notre Dame inside and out, but I know and I think from what I've seen, the little bit I've seen, is that they're highly overrated, which is nothing new for Notre Dame. That's still, you know, the hangover of last year, keeping them in the top 25 somehow, some way. I don't even know. I think they're out of the top 25 now, finally. But
yeah,
I think ASU, you know, they've shown in, you know, last week they stepped it up and definitely, you know, played to the level that I think a lot of people expected. Stanford was tough, but I mean, Stanford's going to make a lot of real good teams that think they're really good. They're mm-hmm. going to make them look pretty bad, and that's nothing that ASU should be ashamed of. They fought hard. They played all four quarters. They made it a little interesting. And I think, you know, down there in Texas Stadium, it's going to be fun to see how ASU responds to a really, really high profile game. I mean, this is not often the ASU gets to play in these, and this is going to be more what we talked and said about Notre Dame and Texas Stadium and the Lone Star State and all that than really talking about the game. And I think if ASU on defense can get after Tommy Rees, that there's no chance for Notre Dame. I mean, that's kind of where it lies. If that defense can cause havoc, create some turnovers, you know, offensively ASU's going to put it up there. I mean, Marion Grice does nothing but score touchdowns. You know, he's going to have 14 points when he steps off the bus. And if Taylor can use his legs like he did last week, which I thought was exceptional, he got out of the pocket and started heading north and gaining some good yardage there. I think that they pose problems now offensively for any defense. And you know, it's going to be fun to watch. This is one where, you know, I'm pulling extremely hard for ASU. I always do, but especially against Notre Dame, because I've never been a big fan of Notre Dame football.
Really? I couldn't tell.
Yeah. Well, anybody that has their own network, their own conference, and, you know, they're holier than everybody, you know, and that's their shtick. And I think you either love Notre Dame or you hate them, and I'm on the side of, obviously, you know, I don't hate them. I just, you know, kind of root against them.
You got it. You got it. Good talking to you. I'll talk to you next week, Jake. Thanks.
Hey, you too, Brad. Take it easy.
See you, man. Jake Plummer with us every week. Terrific, stupendous on Notre Dame. So, you know, there you go on that front. All right, on the other side, Clark Judge. Clark Judge comes up next. We do Clark Judge, all things NFL around the National Football League with Clark Judge. He joins us every week on Thursdays as well. Jake, that's great. The Fiesta Bowl and Jake Plummer, that is a winning combination. The Fiesta Bowl and Jake Plummer every week. Appreciate their support of Pros 2 Preps. I'm Brad Sussmat. We are on the road in Dallas. Eric is down. They're already working on content you'll see on Pros 2 Preps around the ASU Notre Dame game, going to Todd Graham's high school and some other things too. That's all very cool stuff that Eric's doing down there. Back after this timeout.
React and interact to today's Pros 2 Preps question of the day at facebook.com/Pros2Preps.
It's good Thursday, Brad Sussmat, Pros 2 Preps, PROS number 2 Preps, and of course on Twitter at Brad Sussmat, CESMAT. And Clark Judge joins us now. Clark Judge, all things NFL, the National Football League's Clark Judge, where Commissioner Goodell Clark sent out an email today to the database of 10 million names talking about the safety program. This comes out the day before the League of Denial, the NFL concussions, the battle for truth, this whole deal that two investigative reporters at ESPN put together that suddenly the NFL walked away from. So I'm wanting to start here before we get into Peyton Manning crushing Dallas this weekend, because I'm just curious from your view on the NFL and their stance on concussions and being so proactive on this story in terms of crushing people trying to point out the safety risks within the NFL.
Yeah, I think, Brad, it started years ago when, you know, the legal action started from those 4,000 and some players, what became 4,000 and, 500, 600 players. I think they did it out of necessity. And basically, what those two reporters point out was absolutely true, that up until recently, the NFL had denied any link between concussions and football and the hits suffered in football. Then all of a sudden, they did an about-face because there was a mounting body of evidence that suggested, in fact, that was the case. And they suddenly started taking preventative action, being out in front of things, and now talking about how they're, you know, doing everything they can to prevent serious head injury. I think that was in response to that avalanche of lawsuits that came, you know, several years ago and was settled this summer. That said, I mean, that once the ball was rolling, it couldn't be stopped. And I think what they're trying to do now is put out a fire, because these two guys were on national TV last night, so in the story leads website, and it's a provocative story about essentially how they sort of dismiss and try to quell it and subdue it until, in fact, they couldn't keep it down anymore, couldn't keep the weight of evidence down anymore. And I think the NFL now is trying to basically assert itself as one of the leaders in this area and say, no, as a matter of fact, this is what we are doing, trying to get people to forget what happened years ago, but not that long ago, when sure, it didn't have an association between the two.
Have you ever gone down the path of working in depth on this story? Because I know you're...
I have not, no. Yeah. No, other than just talking to people who've suffered concussions and that sort of thing, no.
Sure. Is it that big of a deal from your view with players that you've spoken to? Because you've been in that locker room. Clark, I can go back to when... I remember the Chargers played the Raiders, and I was down there interviewing Lyle Alzado and John Matuszak after a game in San Diego, and the two of them were butt naked and their bodies were so disfigured and had acne all over them. I couldn't figure out what the deal was with them. Right. This is something that's been going on for years and years and years. But when the ratings are as high as they are for the games, mm-hmm, do people just not care?
That's a good question, because, you know, it's not just football here, Brad. Let's go to baseball. I mean, when Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire were hitting those home runs, nobody seemed to care, because, and I'm talking about in high places of the Major League Baseball, because they were putting people in the seats, and they desperately needed to do that at the time.
Sure, sure, sure.
And I do remember stories being written about the substances that were available and ready to be seen in McGwire's locker, and nobody cared until they decided to care. And then suddenly everyone who was taking that were bad people, when, in fact, the league had condoned that for years. But, you know, it's interesting that you ask that question, because I think that, you know, you're talking about Alzado and Matuszak. That's a long time ago.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, you're absolutely right. Remember when Mandrich came out and he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated and he's rippling with muscles? Well, everyone went. He's taking steroids. I mean, what's you know, and I was in that San Diego locker room when you were, and there were guys that were pointed out to me. They said, oh, these guys are on steroids. Nobody cared. And honestly, at that point, I thought, well, isn't that what everyone's doing? I mean, why should we care, because we hear about this so often? Well, once you found out what the repercussions were and the risks, suddenly you said, yeah, oh, we should care. And then the league got behind that and forcefully instituted an anti-steroid substance abuse policy and that sort of thing. But, you know, with this thing, I think, yeah, players do care, because they're looking around at the Dave Duerson. They're looking at the Junior Seau and saying, that could be me. Mike Webster, that could be me. We've got to start doing whatever we can to protect ourselves. And fortunately, the league seems to be in concert with them on this. But in answer to your question, yeah, they do. Now, they're also young people. And honestly, young people tend to think that they're going to live forever. And so they go, oh, a concussion, a couple of concussions, I can handle that. Well, maybe you can't, you know. And I think this is what they're paying attention to when they see these people, as I mentioned, the Duersons, and say I was taking their lives, they go, uh-oh, I don't want to go there.
Clark Judge, all things NFL with Brad Sismat for a couple of minutes every week here on Pros to Preps. What do you make out of Josh Freeman's story in Tampa Bay? From my view, there has to be more that hasn't come out. and that things were really, really bad down there. Can this kid not play in the league?
No, well, I mean, you're talking about this year or in the coming years?
Is it just a view that he's not very good?
Well, no. I mean, listen, there are a lot of quarterbacks who aren't very good. Some of whom are starting. So, no, he'll play in this league. He will play in this league. And this is a guy I think is in a really bad situation, has to get out of there one way or the other and get a chance somewhere else. But, you know, look around the league, Brad. I mean, there are guys who are, I mean, Blaine Gabbert and Chad Henne in Jacksonville, you're going to tell me this guy might be better than either one of them? I think he might. That's not to say he's going there, but is he a better option than what's behind Terrell Pryor in Oakland? Is he a better option than Terrell Pryor? He might. You know, he might be. So, yeah, he's going to play somewhere. It's a really bad situation. You don't know whom to believe down there. Honestly, I think I've said this before. I really am beginning to wonder whether Greg Schiano can last the season.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're going to, it sounds to me like they're going to have a player mutiny at some point. And this thing's just building to a crescendo with every loss. It's building to a crescendo, and I think at some point it's going to explode.
Well, it's kind of like Washington. You know, there's just this, is RG3 been pushed back too quick? Is RG3 really healthy? Is he being used the right way? Are the Shanahans using him correctly? If I'm looking around the league, that's one of those places where it feels like that's about to explode too.
Yeah, I think so. But, I mean, keep in mind, they're, what, 1-3? And, you know, with another victory, I mean, if they went 2-3, and I think they're off this weekend, but you could tie for first place there because you're right, Dallas is going to lose to Denver, so Dallas will be 2-3. So it's not as bad as when you look at Tampa Bay, you look at them and say, where are they going to find a win here? I mean, they will at some point, but it's really bleak there. They could have won last week and maybe should have won. Did not. Should have won week one, didn't. And so you start looking at those games, and that starts to mount. The pressure starts to mount. Washington at least got the monkey off its back there. But in terms of the RG3 situation, yeah, that's something that hangs over them because you look at that kid last year, and you look at the player he was game eight last year, he's not even close to that guy now. And that, to me, is not so much what he's doing now and what they're doing with that offense. It's the decision was made last year. They never should have come back and never shouldn't have played in that playoff game. But anyway, that's said and done. Now you look at him, and he's not the same player. And I do think there is some pressure there, but not of the same magnitude in Tampa Bay.
I tell you, Clark, there's some interesting games this week because pressure is really going to grow in Green Bay if they fall to 1-3. And the Lions are sitting there at 3-1. I mean, you look at that game. You look at New Orleans undefeated going outdoors, okay? Are they going to be a different team? We saw that last week with Seattle down in Houston. Seattle plays at Indianapolis this week. So some of these teams that are undefeated, I think the Chiefs keep winning this week. They play Tennessee this week, and the Titans have lost Jake Locker. Pick a game or two off the board this weekend that really interests you.
Well, I mean, you've mentioned some of it. To me, I looked down this list and went, whoa, it's loaded this week. That Chicago game interests me with New Orleans for one of the reasons you mentioned. New Orleans going outside on a short week. Can it do what it did last week and destroy a pretty good team we thought was Miami? Maybe they're not as good as we thought. You look at Chicago now. Chicago's 3-1 coming off a bad loss. They're at home, and I think Chicago's got to make a stand here. I mean, basically, Chicago's got a chance here to make a statement and say, listen, we're better than you thought because the first couple wins, yeah, we were lucky to win those things, but we're better than that, and we're going to prove it because we've got New Orleans outside. I think that's an intriguing game. The Indianapolis one probably has my attention most because it's Seattle on the road again where it's vulnerable. Indianapolis looks like it's better than we thought they were. When they went out to San Francisco and pulverized the 49ers, I went, whoa. I mean, and then last week, that shouldn't count. It's Jacksonville, all right? It's the 33rd team in the NFL. But you look at those last two wins, they've destroyed people. Now they're at home, and Seattle was lucky to win last week. I mean, the game we don't talk about is Houston going to San Francisco. I mean, Houston, geez, they're just reeling. I mean, they had a game in their pocket, and they blew it. But the Seattle-Indianapolis game, I think we now find out something about both of those teams because Indianapolis has got it to its advantage, having Seattle there, second straight road game. I like Indianapolis in that game. Houston going to San Francisco, I don't like Houston in any big game anymore. I'm sorry. I just don't think Matt Schaub can play it to the next level.
Peyton Manning, John Elway, who do you take for one game to win?
John Elway.
Because?
Peyton Manning's 9-11 in the playoffs, seven times he's been one and done. John Elway's one of the most talented quarterbacks, if not the most talented I've seen, not the best quarterback, most talented. If I take one guy in the current, like the modern era, I'd probably be Joe Montana. But if you're asking me John Elway or, you know, Peyton Manning, John Elway, Tom Brady or Peyton Manning? Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Again, 17-7 in the playoffs. Been to five Super Bowls.
But it's interesting in Denver how that debate has now come up because Manning has gotten off to such a great start. And it doesn't appear like there's anything in front of him to slow him down this year. That really it's enjoy this season if you're a fan of football because right. We may see something that we'll never see again. He's toying with everybody.
Oh, no question. And look who they've got next week on the schedule. Have you looked? Jacksonville at home. What do you think the line for that game is going to be? But I agree with you. And, yeah, it is. That team's the most complete team out there. Someone asked me the other day, do they have a weakness? You don't see one because, I mean, even on special teams, I mean, Prater's kicking 50 yards and Holiday's returning punts and kicks. I mean, they seem to do everything well. And the defense is playing well despite the loss of Von Miller. They played without Champ Bailey the first couple of games. So you look at this team and say, where's their weakness? I really don't see one. But, you know, they lost Ryan Clady. So that's injuries have a way of sort of evening the playing field. And the other thing is, I will tell you this, is I hear people saying, you know, we've never seen anything like this. And, yeah, that's true from a statistical standpoint.
Yes. But
look at 2007 and Brady in 2007. I just went back and looked at this. And his first five games, he had 16 touchdowns and two interceptions. First five, not first four, first five. First seven games, 27 touchdowns and two interceptions. He ran the table that year, 16-0. You know, they went 18-0, and then we know what happened in the Super Bowl. That said, you know, people talk as if they don't have any memories. I mean, look at Aaron Rodgers' performance in 2011. Astonishing. They were 15-1. People ask me then, have we ever seen anything like this? Well, yeah, we saw it in Tom Brady. But, yeah, that's not to detract what Peyton Manning is doing. He's doing a remarkable job, and as you said, he's going to pile up some numbers where people are going to start talking about him. As you mentioned, with John Elway, and I did see someone write that in Denver recently, he's the greatest quarterback in Denver history. And John Elway went to five Super Bowls.
Yeah,
he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning's going to the Hall of Fame, but there's that other side that, you know, you got to pay attention to, Brad. It's not, he's a great quarterback. He's one of the greatest ever, but you can't get over that, well, but. And the well bud is 9-11 in the playoffs.
Before I let you go, and I know that you're back east, but out here, it's a who cares game nationally. It's Carolina and Cam Newton, okay,
right.
Against Carson Palmer and the Cardinals. But the Cardinals are now 2-2. I like what they did yesterday, finally blowing Levi Brown out of here. It wasn't Levi Brown's fault. He was drafted ahead of Adrian Peterson and Darrell Revis and others, okay? But they had to finally blow him out of here. He goes to Pittsburgh. Best of luck to him. If the Cardinals were to win this game, they would be 3-2, mm-hmm. having San Francisco at San Francisco and home to Seattle in the next 2 weeks. Things could be pretty interesting out here. And
right.
A team that's really not getting a whole lot of attention. Have you seen what's gone out here, and what do you make out of the Cardinals so far?
Well, I watched them last week, and
because that was awful football.
You're talking about, you know, who cares game. That's kind of the game I thought it was last week because
sure.
I watched that. Went, you got to be kidding me! They're not going to beat these guys. And then lo and behold, Mike Glennon has the hiccup there at the end of the game. And to Patrick Peterson's credit, boom. He makes the interception, but then you look at the next play, and that told me something about the Cardinals. A, they went after Revis, and B, Palmer makes the throw. So I
yes.
don't care how you win. A win is a win is a win. We're not talking about style points here. We're talking about wins and losses. So you're right. They're 2-2. They've got to win this one, Brad.
Yeah.
This is a game they should win.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if people say, who cares? I care. If I were a Cardinals fan, I care for exactly what you said. 3-2, you're back in it. You know, you're back in it with who else? San Francisco. San Francisco's got two losses. Now, do I think they can play with the 49ers? No, I don't. But it doesn't mean anything because you've got the same record and you get them. Then you get a chance to measure yourself against them. And then you get Seattle there. I think that's they're in a pretty good spot right now. No, I don't think they're, you know, particularly great team, but they're doing better than they have recently. And that game last week, they had to win. They've got to win this one, too.
I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
Clark Judge with us every week. All things NFL. Clark Judge, 30 years covering the National Football League. Every week here on Pros to Preps. Appreciate his time and his insight, as always, on the show. All right, on the other side, so there's some things I want to get to. Around Bob Stoops ripping on the SEC was just classic. Some numbers around the Cardinals that have come out. Highest grades to this point of the season by Pro Football Focus. They do a terrific job of breaking down not just stats, but play-by-play stuff. And some interesting trends that the Cardinals have developed under Bruce Arians. That's next. I'm Brad Susmat.
Okay. college football fans, check out the Recruiting Roundup with Jared Cohen and Scout.com insider Jason Jewell on pros2preps.com.
Brad Sussmad with you. Good Thursday. Can't wait for the weekend. Tonight, we got some college football too. UCLA and Utah tonight. NFL game is not that bad tonight. Buffalo and Cleveland. Cleveland has Brian Hoyer, the former Cardinal quarterback. And we have the baseball playoffs. I'm going good. I'm going good. I was at this high school football game last night checking out this freshman. You know, you're like, oh, come on. Stick to the pros. Stick to the college. No, this kid's going to be playing in college someday. And maybe someday he'll be playing beyond that. I'm not going to go that far. But I've already had college guys call me about a freshman. Whenever I hear that, I want to get out there. And I'm going to be writing about this over on Pros to Preps. It was very interesting. If you missed Jake Plummer, whew, good stuff with Jake. Good stuff. And that's up on Pros to Preps as well. Yesterday, when the Cardinals had their little press conference to talk about why they traded Levi Brown, and I said on this show yesterday afternoon that the Cardinals have to take some responsibility for being the ones that passed over Adrian Peterson and decided to go with the direction of Levi Brown, which made Steve Keim at the time very upset. Steve Keim yesterday said, quote, "I don't think it comes as any surprise that Levi Brown was not living up to our expectations on the field. At the end of the day, we felt it was in the organization's best interest to move on from Levi when the opportunity arose. With Pittsburgh to make a trade, we jumped at the opportunity." That is so harsh. And unfortunately, we're in a spot with the Cardinals where if they said what should have been said, which is, we drafted Levi incorrectly in 2007. We screwed up. We're the ones that are at fault. We're the ones that made a bad decision. But that will never come from sports teams. That doesn't sell to the common fan. It just turns the anger towards the organization. It's the right thing to do. I don't know about you. I'm big on people stepping forward and saying, I screwed up. It was my fault. There's not enough of that today in society. There just isn't. Let's just go blame everybody else. Well, Levi was horrible. Levi was awful. I don't know. How many offensive line coaches did you have? Was the one that you didn't want to remove during Wisenhunt's era part of the problem to develop Levi Brown? Was it completely Levi Brown? Whose decision was it to take Levi Brown and not Adrian Peterson? None of those things had to do with Levi Brown, did they? Every now and then, just step up and say, I screwed up. Let's move forward. I have a lot of respect when people come up in sports and say, we missed. They're admitting mistakes. I have a lot of respect in business when people say, I screwed up. I didn't come through. Fortunately, it doesn't happen enough in this day and age. It just doesn't. It's everybody looking to blame somebody else and point a finger at somebody else. And okay, the Cardinals may be better. I'm sure they're going to be better. I'm sure it sent a message through the locker room. I have no ill will towards Levi Brown being drafted by the Cardinals. It wasn't him saying, I want to go to Arizona and pass on Darrell Revis and, you know, go ahead and pass on all these other players. Pro Football Focus is an interesting group. Pro Football Focus, they're over in London, and we've used them before on this show, and a lot of NFL insiders and organizations use Pro Football Focus. They get into the minutiae and the details of players, give them ratings, send that information back to organizations, send it to scouts, send it to agents, and on and on and on down the list. Through the first month of the season, the Pro Football Focus people have now released their information on certain players and how well they're playing for each team. Stock up, they have Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald, what a difference a quarterback can make, they write. Comparing the last month of 2012 to the first of 2013, Fitzgerald's targets are comparable, but he has snagged 6 more receptions for 97 yards. He has 3 more touchdowns. He had 0 passes dropped in the month. Fitzgerald's talent's never in doubt, but it's good to see him get some competent quarterbacking playing to show the talent. His rating is up, and up considerably from last year. Whose stock is down from the Cardinals in the first month, according to Pro Football Focus? It's Calais Campbell. Not always the most consistent run defender until last season. Campbell has at least been an impactful and dependable pass rusher for the Cardinals. Not so to start 2013. His eight pressures to start the season is poor by his own standards, and especially so in comparison to the final month of the 2012 season when he made a strong comeback having missed the previous four games for the Cardinals. Calais Campbell's stock down, according to Pro Football Focus. Some of the game notes from the Cardinals game, and they grade every play and players and how they perform. The three highest graded players in the game between Tampa Bay and the Cardinals, two of them on defense were Patrick Peterson and Matt Shaughnessy. Matt Shaughnessy has made a push. He's made a push on this organization, graded out very well against Tampa Bay and how he performed there. The three lowest rated players were Mike Glennon, Davin Joseph, and Rashard Mendenhall. So Mendenhall just not getting it done from what they graded out. And what rating did Glennon have when throwing a Patrick Peterson? A perfect 0.0. Peterson allowed just 13 yards into his coverage on eight targets, played 45 coverage snaps. Pretty good. A player that so far has not come through for the Cardinals on offense, Michael Floyd. Their analysis, he's been a starter for 248 snaps. Pro Football Focus breaks it all down. Has been on the field more than any Cardinals receiver. It's probably because of the Larry Fitzgerald injury. Well, it is because of the Larry Fitzgerald injury against Detroit. He's been on the field more than any Cardinals receiver, but yet to make a telling contribution, a healthy enough return in terms of yards, but the team will be looking for him to do more, a big step on his debut season, though, from where he was a year ago to now. He's made some progress, still hasn't come through to be productive. The game on Sunday against Carolina, I know what we've been focused so much, and we will continue to be focused on ASU Notre Dame, but Sunday's game against Carolina, everybody's going to be watching Dallas and Denver. I get it. I'm going to have to go do one of those deals where I'm going to head to some place of business and get some table and have some beverage or two or four and watch with one eye the Cardinals game and with an eye over on the Dallas-Denver game. Maybe an eye and a half on Dallas-Denver because it's such an attractive game. I love seeing the Cowboys get crushed because Cowboy fans are the biggest bunch of bandwagon fans that there are out there. We put it as the Dallas Cowboys suicide hotline. So, you know, this weekend, it'll be interesting on the Cardinals end. Can they push through, have some more momentum when you have San Francisco the following week, which you will not be favored to win, and then you have Seattle 4 days later at home, and you won't be favored to win that one either, but it's Seattle at home. If you can beat Seattle at home, they are a completely different team outside of playing their games at home. If you can split. But 2-2, and if you're 2-3, if you lose to Carolina and you lose those two games to the 49ers and Seahawks, as people expect them to do, now you're 2-5. You win over Carolina, you're at 3-2. You know, there's a momentum swing that's sitting there this week. Really interesting. This segment of the Brad Sussmatz Show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. We are in Dallas. Eric is on his way there right now. Santan Ford, of course, big part of our Sun Devil travels. We take the show on the road. Eric's heading down earlier than we are. He's going to be doing a big story on Todd Graham at Todd Graham's High School that we'll put up on Pros to Preps, as well as interacting with the fans down there and bringing you the sights and sounds of ASU on the road at Notre Dame. In Dallas. That's from Santan Ford, where it is all about you. I'm Brad Sussmatz. On tomorrow's show, we will have Bob Brenly with us tomorrow on the baseball playoffs in full swing. Jimmy Vaccaro in Vegas, the latest from the wisest of the wise guys on all the numbers around Vegas this weekend in College and Pro, and then Goody at the Movies, that's every Friday. On Twitter, at Brad Sussmatz, we continue to just shoot stuff out there day and night. You can always reach me there. Our Facebook fan page, our question of the day, and of course our website, which is Pros to Preps. Right now, a really good story that Eric put together on the replacement for Levi Brown, if you want to check that out. Some college notes on the recruiting roundup, ASU Notre Dame, and my three-dot thoughts on all things Arizona sports. White Mountain Radio, it's great to have them on board too. Pros to Preps with Brad Sussmatz.